KCSF AM HD1 Colorado Springs, a Cumulus station. Broadcasting from the old Chicago Pizza and Taproom studios. This is AM 1300, The Animal. It's time for the Animal House Show, your educational, informative, fun show about all things animals. Want to get involved? Give us a call now at 719-265-9661. Now, live from the AM 1300, The Animal Studios, here's your host, Vicki Graham.
And here's your host, Vicki Graham. Just kidding. I just love how he says that. I could never, ever have a voice like that. What's up with that? Anyways, we have an exciting show this week. Someone that I don't even know how we're going to fit it all into an hour. So we're going to just speed talk and get through it. No, we're not. We're going to hit the important things or just, you know, let it flow however it's going to. And we have Michael on the line, right?
Vicki, how are you?
I'm good. I had some weird sleep last night. I was up and, you know, dogs were asking to be let out at 3 a.m. I'm like, dudes, I don't even go out Friday nights anymore because I have to be up so early for the show, and they do that to me. I don't know.
Hey, listen, thank you. It's an absolute honor to be on Animal House.
Well, I'm glad you're here. Do you go by Mike or Michael usually?
Either one.
Or Mojo?
Mojo is my nickname. Austin Powers stole it from me.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Dang it. How dare he do that?
I mean, so, if I got half a penny for every time it was used in the movies, I'd be a rich man.
Yeah.
No, because Mojolewski, my grandfather came from Poland, and it's just such a long name.
Right.
So, you know, Mojo is the first beginning of it, so we just cut the rest of it off, and, you know, I've been Michael Mojo my whole life.
Yeah, I have to admit something. You know, I was like, okay, I don't even know how to pronounce this guy's name. Let me listen to one of his other interviews just to make sure I get it right, you know, when I was recording the promo for the show.
Right.
So I was like, okay, Mojolewski. I think I got it right on your promo, right?
Yeah, and my dad and uncle were, like, totally famous football players, you know, back in the day.
I know, we talked.
The Mojolewski brothers, and, yeah. You know, they would always call it Big Mo and Little Mo, you know.
Yeah, and speaking of that, and for, well, one of them, your dad was Ed.
Right.
Big Mo, and from Cleveland. We're both from Cleveland, actually.
Great place to grow up.
Yeah, definitely. I'm planning on going back there. I like the Great Lakes, but you live all over the place. And I just want to say I'm sorry to hear about your dad.
Yeah, we lost him at 86 a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
And just the greatest guy. I mean, you know, my hero my whole life long. And when we were kids growing up in Cleveland, he'd come home and he'd say, the only four-letter word I don't want to hear in this house is can't. You can do anything in life if you just put your mind to it and work hard enough. That's
yeah.
The kind of attitude he
it
had.
It seems like your family was into football and also restaurants. They opened a chain of restaurants, correct?
Yeah, he probably had the early sports bar where he opened a restaurant. He and my uncle put all their trophies in there and pictures. So all the teams that were going to play the Browns would come in there the night before.
That's awesome.
You know, Sam Hoff, New York Giants. And then it was a magnet to bring the public in. You know, so it was just a great place to be.
Yeah. So, and then there's one of his three kids. You totally did something different and decided to go live isolated on an island.
I call it La Vida Loca. I mean, when I'm in Alaska and, you know, one of my gigs is I am so blessed to be on Princess Cruises and I go right by the island I used to live on, you know, in the wilderness and still visit now. But, I mean, I just pinch myself and people go, they come on the ship from Cleveland. They recognize the last name from dad playing football, and they go, dude, how did you get from Cleveland, Ohio, to here?
I know, huh? But I think you and I discussed about, I mean, my brother lives in Alaska as well, you know, born and raised
right.
in Cleveland. So he's on Wasilla, has, you know, does exciting stuff, but not quite like you. I mean, he's not a – is it a naturalist? Is that how you say it?
Yeah, I mean, that's my, quote, job title.
Yeah,
you know?
And so does that mean you run around naked?
Well, you know what's funny, Vicki? I was on the ship about, I think it was 2 years ago now. And
yeah.
We get, during the cruises to Alaska, they last a week, and the itinerary I work on is out of Seattle, and it's a round-trip itinerary. But we get all 50 states, people
yeah.
from all 50 states, and we get 30 different countries around the world coming to those cruises every week. Because everybody wants to see the glaciers, the grizzly bears, the animals up there, whales, salmon. So one day, I'm in my book table. I do the programs in the theater, and then I sell my books outside. And this beautiful young girl from England approaches the table. And she looks at me right in the eyes, kind of look like Princess Di a little bit, you know, peaches and cream complexion. And in that clipped, proper, posh British accent, she said, "Michael, it's so nice to see you with your clothes on."
Okay.
And I looked at her, and I went, and trying to imitate Austin Powers, I went, "Have we dated, baby?"
Nice.
And she said, "I must explain to you that in my country, your job title, naturalist, very close to another word we have in England called naturist."
Right.
There's only one letter difference, and a naturist in England is a nudist. So I, when I read your job title, I expected you to walk onto the stage without any clothes on.
No wonder Princess Cruises gets so many people on their ships.
So then she brainstorms. She goes, "You know, why don't you get those tearaway trousers, like in the full Monty?
Yeah.
And get a raccoon tail in the back," and they have these crazy gag gifts up in the towns in Alaska.
Yeah.
For males to keep warm in the winter. I mean, I'll try to say PG-13. There's a athletic supporter with a patch of fur on the front to keep you warm. And she said, "Why don't you come out on stage, tear off your trousers, have one of those on the front, and a raccoon tail on the back, and say, 'Hi, I'm your naturalist.'" Crazy life.
Yeah, I figured maybe that's, you know, you might have done that as well. You just didn't post them on Facebook or anything. I don't know. I was like, he's saving all the good pictures. That's what he's doing. Every time I try to promote the show, I'm like, okay, I'm not finding any nude ones to put on my page. I guess I'm going to have to go with one of these bullet clothes.
Oh, the gold bar standard, you know.
Awesome. So, like I said, Alaska, you pretty much, your fame grew, and you got a lot of these. Did you get the job the contract with Princess Cruises before?
Well, what really happened, and it all started in Cleveland, of all places, really.
Yeah.
It was my mother, and, you know, my mother's like an Italian background, and I don't have a mother, I have a smother. You know, her whole life, it's like, "Michael, don't live, you might die." afraid of things. And I mean, rightly so.
Don't live, you might die.
Out there, and parents want to protect us from harm.
Sure.
But so she was very, very protective. But what she did that basically created my whole life was, when I was a little boy in Cleveland, Ohio, 6, 7 years old, maybe even younger, is she read me to sleep every single night with all the great King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table, you know, Grimm's fairy tales, all these magical fables.
Right.
And one night she picked up a book called The Call of the Wild by Jack London.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know why, at that particular age, living in Cleveland, Ohio, why did that story resonate so deeply? And my mother told me, she said, "You know, when you close your eyes and your chest was moving up and down, in other words, when you were asleep, I kept reading. And it's been proven that if you want to learn a foreign language, let the tape recorder run all night, because I think that our subconscious never sleeps."
I wonder if that's the same with...
We always have that light on, that warning light.
Yeah, sort of the same with, you know, unborn babies, you know, when mothers put the headphones
on. Yeah, those are called prenatal influence.
Yeah.
Like they play Mozart or classical music, maybe they come out and they're a musician, or, you know, it relaxes them or something. So.
Yeah, I don't know. So you started off at your notoriety or fame or infamy, whatever you want to call it, started off because of you being isolated. Did you did this first? I mean, you went to the island.
Yeah, here's my mom. She reads me Jack London. So that's resonating.
Right.
But how do you go from Cleveland, Ohio, where, you know, it's very much urban, and but it's beautiful, and that, you know, the Metropolitan Park System, the Emerald Necklace, they call it. So, I mean, I'm always out in the ravines, of course, building forts as a kid, whole thing. Go to college, learn to be a journalist, learn, you know, who, what, when, where, why, so I can break the rules later. And then I go to Aspen, Colorado to be a ski bum.
Ah.
And I go to a film revival of Western movies in the Isis Theater, and there was one movie that totally changed my life. By Robert Redford starred, and then it's called Jeremiah Johnson. and it's about a guy in the 1880s that didn't know a thing, and he went up to live in the Rocky Mountains of the West to try to learn from the native people. I mean, they almost killed him about 20 times. He froze to death every other month. And I came out of that movie, and I just, there was a, just, because Aspen's about 7,000 feet up.
Right.
And the Milky Way was just blazing that night in that clear, cold air. And I just beamed out to the universe. Where can I have that experience today? And Alaska's about the only place left on Earth where you've got an unbroken food chain. You've got native people who were never conquered by the white man. They were never thrown away on reservations. They've lived up there continuously.
Right.
So they have their pride and heritage intact. And I said, I want that life. I have to get that close to nature. 2 months later, I met a woman, like an emissary. I call her an angel with wings. She came to Aspen and eventually connected me to the man that owned a wilderness island 200 miles north of Vancouver, British Columbia. So how these dots connect, it's almost like, you know, somebody's directing a movie.
Wow. So, I mean, so did you mention to her that that movie resonated with you? And then she's like, oh, I know this person.
Well, you know, the weird thing was is I was totally broke. I was a freelance writer, and I was going, you know, I was doing great gigs, New York Times, LA Times, going all over the world. But then I'd starve to death for 2 months, you know, eating peanut butter and ramen just to get the next assignment.
Yeah.
So they have an international design conference, and as you know, being, you know, in Colorado Springs, that Aspen is great in the summertime for cultural stuff, music festivals, you know, arts.
Right.
And they have this great international design conference where designers come in all over the world, whether it's clothing, you know, house architects, whatever, and they just swap ideas. But prohibitively expensive, but if you set up the tents, you could get in for free. So I did all the manual labor and the setup, had a free pass. And the first day, they said, okay, everybody, we're going to take a lunch break, and we're going to go out in the meadow, and we're going to watch hang gliders come off the top of Ajax Mountain, and they're going to land at your feet out there. So here's 1,000 people in a meadow. Everybody is spinning around like a top, watching these human kites glide down to us. And Vicky, why didn't I bump into the back that was a foot to the right or a foot to the left?
Yeah.
I bumped into a back of all those people, randomly, you know, turning around. We whipped off our sunglasses, looked at each other, fell in love. French architect from Vancouver, Jean-Vierre. We skipped out of the conference, camped in the mountains for a week, made love, drank Beaujolais. She goes back home, and I'm getting a letter every day. Michael, come and see me. So I had never been west of Colorado in my life. I stuck out my thumb, hitchhiked all the way to L.A., all the way up the west coast. We spent 2 weeks on her sailboat going north, up into the Inside Passage. This place blew my mind. I didn't even know it existed. You got like 15,000-foot mountains coming right out of the ocean.
Yeah.
You've got 4,000-foot waterfalls. You've got hummingbirds pollinating the flowers thousands of feet up on these cliffs, you know, in the summertime. You've got killer whales, grizzly bears pulling salmon out of the rivers. It's like a naturalist or a wildlife photographer's paradise something. So we go back to her apartment. My suitcases are by the door. I'm due to go home. The phone rings. And it's Will Maloff, the guy that owned this island, that got John Diev's phone number 9 years before at a party. And he said, hey, John Diev, remember me? I'm Will. And she goes, Will, you live up there in paradise. You play your guitar to the killer whales at night, and they come in and sing with you close to the beach. When you take your coat off, when you're making your garden, the bees build hives in your pocket when you leave your coat out there. She goes, I remember you. And he goes, I want to take you out for dinner. And Vicky, 99.9% of men would have said, and she said, oh, by the way, I have a guest. Michael's here. And 99.9% of guys would have said, oh, well, I'll catch
Never
you in
mind.
Another 9 years.
Right.
This, my whole future hung in him clicking that phone and saying goodbye. But instead, he said, all right, the three of us will go out. So we go to Chinese dinner. Jean-Vierre is ignored. I'm almost grabbing this guy by the lapels across the table because he had what I wanted. He had Jeremiah Johnson. He had that movie that he was living for real. So I, as much as I wanted to, invite myself to his island, and of course I would never do that. And he read my mind because he said, "Hey, Mike, I got to go. I'm in a hurry, but I'm giving you a formal invitation to my island, 200 miles north, 100 years back in time. Will leaves. The fortune cookies come at the end of the Chinese meal. I open mine up thinking nothing of it. It says, you are going on a journey to an exotic land."
Okay, now, are you making any of this up now?
No, this is totally true. It's in my first book.
That is totally awesome.
So here's Genevieve. I really believe there are angels on earth. They might not have wings, but people
sure.
come into our life and they
that.
Introduce us to a spouse. They put us on our life path. I couldn't continue my relationship with her that far north when I, you know, stayed on the island. Every New Year's Eve, I try to contact her and thank her for giving me my life, my future.
That's awesome. That's totally awesome because you actually, how long were you on the island?
I was there for about 2 months, my first stint.
Okay.
Most of it like in isolation because once Will showed me the ropes, he had never been able to find anybody crazy enough to stay there so he could go leave and travel.
Okay, so you say isolation. So he had like a house or a cabin or something that there
yeah,
on the island.
Yeah, just a very primitive cabin.
Okay.
Nearest neighbor, 12 miles away. So when you looked out 360 from the high crest of the island that went up 800 feet, and you couldn't even see Alex's cabin. It was just so thickly forested on these islands.
Right.
The jungle can't even stick a hand in there. 200 inches of rainfall up there. So you could do a 360 on top of the island, and you would not see any signs of human beings. No telephone poles. I mean, just a passing boat or just an airplane.
Now, does the island have a name?
Yeah, it's called Swanson Island. It's just privately owned.
Yeah.
But there are 10,000 islands off the coast of just Alaska.
Right.
And not to say, I don't even know what the number would be off of British Columbia going beneath Alaska. And the Inside Passage is 1,000 miles from Puget Sound, Washington, all the way north to Glacier Bay. And it's the most scenic, glacier-carved masterpiece. I mean, when the cruise ships go up there, these ships are 3 football fields long. And you're going into these fjords that are twisting and serpentine. And sometimes land is like 50 yards away on each side of the ship. But the water's so deep.
Right.
Because it was carved out by these mile-thick glaciers last ice age. The captain could literally put the cruise ship against one of these rock walls. You could grab out and you could reach out and grab a pine tree, and
yeah.
you still have 1,000 feet of ocean right beneath.
Yeah, my parents have told me about it. That's still one thing I want to do. But it's my parents' favorite vacation. They've been on 2 or 3, maybe even 4 Alaskan cruises through there. So
everybody comes back. I mean, it lives up to the hype. It exceeds it. I go, well, what did you think of Alaska at the end of the cruise? And I hear these same words over and over. Mike, it was bigger, better, and more than I ever thought it could be.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, we have to break for about 3 minutes for our sponsors, but we're going to come back and talk to Michael Modzelewski, and we're going to talk about your time on the island and the animals you encountered.
Do you cringe at the thought of your car or truck needing work? Worried about the money? Or whether you're dealing with an honest mechanic? No more clenching teeth. Just give Mikan's Academy Auto a call at 719-597-0501. An A-plus rated member of the Better Business Bureau and with years of experience behind them. You'll never worry. Your vehicle will get the work it needs, not the work others may try to sell you. Check them out. Mike or Ken will answer any questions you have. 597-0501 or find them at Mikan's Academy AutoService.com. They'll get your whole family where you need to go safely. P.S. Mention the Pet Lovers discount.
Keeping them warm, Coats for Canines in Colorado Springs would like to thank all of you for helping the pets of the homeless and less fortunate. Though the donations are always needed, drop any dog coats, booties, leashes, harnesses, and collars at one of our locations. Healthy Pets Animal Hospital, Young Scholars Academy, Halo Boutique, First Commercial Bank, Employer Solutions, Signorama, or Mikan's Academy Auto. Call 761-9613. If you can help out with donations, drop-off, volunteering, or the Salvation Army Winter Warming Shelter Pet Area, keeping them warm made possible because of you.
Does he still have the stamina to score at 6,000 feet above sea level? He passes another defender. Give and go with Jamie McGinnis. Bricolone shoots low and goal! Switchbacks win!
We're making football history in Colorado Springs. The Switchbacks home opener is Saturday, April 4th at 1 p.m. Get your tickets now at SwitchbacksFC.com. That's SwitchbacksFC.com.
If you think you may have received damage to your roof from the wind and hailstorms last year, you have less than 60 days to make your insurance claim to get full reimbursement. Call Old World Roofing today to schedule a free rooftop examination. If you need repairs or a new roof, we will help you make the claim in time so you don't lose benefits. Call Old World Roofing. We've been your local choice for over 40 years with quality roofing, insulation, and gutters. Don't let time run out. Call us or visit oldworldroofing.com today.
You make the decision to buy the home, then you're faced with what's next. What do we do?
We started at Realtor.com.
Realtor.com gave us a lot more current information.
Listings are pulled directly from the MLS every 15 minutes.
Once you've gone through all of that, the Realtor makes it happen.
We worked with a Realtor that really knew the area.
And he knew the market.
When you have someone who has the expertise, it makes it so much easier.
Realtor.com and Realtors. Together, we make home happen. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
KCSF AM HD1 Colorado Springs, a Cumulus station. Broadcasting from the old Chicago Pizza and Taproom Studios. This is AM 1300, The Animal.
Who let the dogs out?
Welcome back to the Animal House Show. Once again, here's your host, Vicki Graham.
Hey, we're here with the person who let the dogs out this week, and that was Michael. Do you have dogs, Michael? Do you have any animals?
Don't have any animals now because I travel so much.
Yeah. Yeah, that would sort of be hard. I try to, you know, we try to take a vacation a couple times a year and just, and now that my daughter has totally moved out, I'm like, who am I going to get to watch the animals?
Wow, so, do you have dogs?
Yeah, we have five of them. Five dogs,
wow.
and a ferret, yeah. We just rescued another one in January, so.
Good for you. That's wonderful.
Yeah, so yeah, dogs are my thing, although I've always liked, you know, the wildlife. My brother, like I said, lives in Alaska now, and he actually moved to, I believe it was Montana for a while for another job. Hated it. Hated leaving Alaska, so we went back. So,
well, you know, we call Colorado and Montana, or we call Alaska, rather, Colorado and Montana with ocean.
Oh, yeah.
See, you know, if you took your state and, you know, you had ocean along the coast, that's pretty much, because the Rockies go, of course, over
right.
14,000, and that's about where a lot of the mountains top out up in Alaska. So you put
right.
ocean and mountains together. And
I tell you what, I would love it. I miss the water. I totally
yeah.
miss the water. But you live part-time in Alaska, part-time in Florida, correct?
Yeah, well.
And then
we'll get to it later in the latest book, but my wife is a flight attendant for United Airlines.
Yeah.
And I had no idea when I first met her, and, you know, we could talk about that crazy Cosmo stuff. And, and she threw a T-shirt at me when we were dating, and it said, "Marry me, fly free."
Oh,
and
that
I mean,
is
I would
so
have married
funny.
Her. She was a banker, and she had 2 weeks vacation a year, but she could flex her schedule, take a leave of absence. And so we can jump on these airplanes and go anywhere in the world for free.
Nice.
Because of her job. And when you eliminate airfare, that's the majority of the expense of travel.
Right. So,
I kept my share on the island that I go back now. I pick and choose my times, like when the killer whales are hunting herring in the spring, and you know, I pick my moments to go back up there. I work with Princess on the cruise ship from May to September. We kept Paula's place in Florida, which is nice to come and kayak with the dolphins and the manatees down here. And then we go over to Africa and lead walking safaris
right.
in Tanzania.
I want to
so
do that.
So we're kind of like nomads. And I think a lot of people innately are that, where it's good to move around.
Right. Okay, so first a couple of questions. There is no age limit to adoption, correct? So so if you guys wanted to adopt me,
That would be incredible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're adopting this 46-year-old woman. Yeah. second, can we give away, an African safari, on the show? And can the host win? No, I'm kidding.
You've got to go with us. I mean, I have two places that I love equally, and it's Alaska and Africa.
Yeah.
They're very similar, and they're very different. Different climate-wise, but similar in that you've got the wild nature, and you've got native people.
Right.
You put those together, it's just phenomenal.
I bet.
And it lights us up. I mean, nature is really our true home. If human beings, if you believe in evolution, we've been around about 2 million years on Earth, and it's only about the last 10 seconds of that time frame that we have lived in cities. So we were all hunter-gatherers not
right.
that long ago.
Right.
And, our DNA is encoded with valleys and forests, and it's not that long ago in our remnant memories that nature was home.
Right.
Not the urban areas.
Yeah.
So when people go to Alaska and Africa, they have that same reaction. It's like, wow, I'm coming home again. And they get lit up like little children.
Right. That's awesome.
And it's just a joy to see.
So let's talk about your home. The island where the inspiration for your book, Inside Passage, came from. The first time you said it was 2 months, and then how long of a break before you went back, and how long was it then?
It was actually 2 years continuously.
2 years continuously,
When I first went, and that was the most magical time.
Years.
But, if we have 9 lives like a cat,
yeah.
I should have, I'm down to about 1.5.
Before
I first went there, I'm a city slicker from Cleveland, Ohio. I had only been camping twice before in my life. I mean, I had nothing on my resume, 40,000 leagues in over my head on the island. And unlike the TV show Survivor, there was nobody else out there to vote you off and send you home.
So tell me about when you lost one of those lives.
First winter. And that first winter was I almost left because I went 67 straight days without seeing another human being. And the weather up there, it doesn't rain and storm for maybe a few days. It can rage for weeks.
Right.
And you get these southeasters in the Inside Passage that blow at about 70, and they gust to, 80, 95 miles an hour. So the rain, day after day, is hitting the little cabin windows like BB shot. And that wind was so strong that it was vibrating the sides of the walls of that cabin like the house was just going to just sail away at any moment. And, Vicky, the weirdest thing, here you are in your protected abode. What you think is walling you off from the world, right? One day I'm sitting in a chair at a kitchen table, and the airtight wood stove is about 4 feet behind my back. And there's an air valve at the bottom that you can open and close to feed, the fire oxygen, make it hotter or cooler. So air valve is about, 80% open. A gust of wind somehow was so strong it got inverted. It came down the stovepipe.
Mm-hmm.
Filled up the stove, blew the top of the stove off, and a tongue of flame, like a blowtorch, shot out of the stove air valve. It set my kitchen chair on fire with me sitting in it.
Oh, geez.
I mean, you felt like you were under attack from the elements. So, that first winter, I'm just trying desperately to hang on. And there was a native reservation about 12 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
And every once in a while, every couple of months, I'd make a run to go get, coffee beans or rice or just basic staples. Well, 12 miles in a car is like, 10 minutes. But 12 miles on that gnarly ocean can literally take you days. So I learned to watch the clouds. The clouds tell you about the wind. If you see wind doggies, it looks like mare's tails, these long shredded clouds.
Yeah.
That mean that high wind is still around. What? It was a beautiful blue day. The ocean was calm. It was a solid rim on the beach. I got halfway out there, and that saying, calm before the storm.
Right.
And animals know. And I kept saying, where's the herring gulls? Where's all the minks scampering on the beach? And where's the bald eagles? All the animals knew what was coming, just like they can tell when an earthquake is coming or whatever.
And you
they
had,
were gone.
And you hadn't learned by that point. Right.
And you get these weird winds up there when you have hanging glaciers that are plastered on the sides of the mountains there. If the air temperature is much different than that ice temperature, it can create these woolly walls. They're sort of like cyclones of air masses that slide off that glacier. So I'm in calm ocean, and the next thing I know, the waves are going up to 12, 14 feet. Long story short, I lost control of my engine. The open dory, I took a wave that filled up the boat three quarters. And by all rights, you know how heavy water is. You carry home a gallon of milk. I mean, it you know, you can feel the weight. By all means, that dory should have sunk. But the man who built that boat by hand out of wood, cedar wood, he put a double bottom on it. And there was enough air flotation between two bottoms to counteract that heavy weight of the water.
Yeah.
So just so many times like that. Jack London wrote, there's a thousand ways Alaska can kill a person. You know, one minute it seduces you with beauty, and the next moment it'll try to kill you if you're not prepared.
Yeah, that's one thing that I posted on the page. But so tell me about... You focused on, since it's an animal show too, you focused on, basically you wrote about in Inside Passage, it's living with bald eagles and killer whales. And how do you say the Indian, the tribe's name?
Well, you know, we say Kwakiutl, but they can pronounce it with a guttural sound that unless you're born speaking that way, it's very hard to duplicate. But that's sort of the Anglo way to spell it and pronounce it. Yeah.
So what's the very first thing you didn't think, you know, you found out about killer whales that just totally blew your mind?
Well, you know, we should really, the planet is falsely named. 71% of the surface of our planet is actually covered with salt water. So three quarters of the Earth, just about. And there's one creature that's at the top of the food chain in the ocean, and it lives in all seven major seas. And that's the killer whale or orca.
Orca, right.
So here you are on this island. The body of water in front of your island is called Blackfish Sound, and the native Kwakiutl people have a nickname for the killer whale. They call it the Blackfish. And this is one of their main hangouts. This is one of their main areas that they live. So to take a kayak, I'd be sitting there having a cup of coffee, writing or reading, and I'd hear that explosion of breath. There would be a pod or family group coming, you know, maybe 100 feet off the beach. I'd throw down the cup, and I had my kayak right outside by the bottom of the stairs. I'd launch the kayak and just spend all day traveling with them. And, you know, it was like a ladder, only they arranged the rungs. I had to pass various tests. And I'm convinced there's another mind on this planet. It could be even smarter than ours, and it belongs to them.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people have said that about the orcas and, well, dolphins like that. That
and you know
a
what?
Lot
the killer
than
whale's not
us.
Really a whale. It's the largest and most intelligent dolphin in the ocean. And they have, if you put your two fists together, that's how big their eyes are. And they have blue eyes. And when you look into a shark's eye, it's like looking into a doll's eye.
Right.
It's pretty much a mechanical feeding machine. But when you stare into those killer whale eyes, you are looking into a sentient being. And then they have this amazing ability called sonar.
Right.
They send out high-pitched sound out of their lower jawbone that's hollow. It goes through the ocean, and it bounces off of landforms underwater, and the echoes come back to their brains. So that's how they navigate through darkness or a plankton soupy sea. But also, if you're in the water, they can take a sound picture, a sonogram of what you look like inside. It bounces off of our organs and bones.
Really?
And they actually get that sonogram back to their brain. So imagine if we had the ability as human beings. I mean, we would be transparent to one another.
Right.
We wouldn't have any politicians. I mean, whenever my wife says, "Does this dress make me look fat?" I would have to tell the truth. I mean, not that she's the least. You know, because, you know, your heart rate goes up,
right.
Your adrenaline spurts, all that stuff happens when you lie. The autonomic nervous system can't control. But they have that ability that they literally can see inside of you.
Yeah. Did you come
to be out there with them? And, I mean, there were psychic experiences that went on, and I mean, it just was a whole nother level.
Yeah.
And, you know, I often believe if the extraterrestrials are looking for intelligent life on this planet, they would fly right over our heads and they would go commune with the dolphins and whales. Because if the number one
right.
thing of intelligence should be, how well does a species live in harmony with their environment? We'd get an F, and the killer whales would get an A+.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Is there a time that any animals up there you thought, you know, this is the end, you know, based on what the animal did? Have you ever gotten
attacked?
Well,
you know, here we all have, you know, the bear as the ferocious beast. Every time you see a bear, and this is what I hate about Hollywood, is that every time they have an animal, a wild animal
mm-hmm.
in a movie, it's usually killing somebody.
Yeah.
If there's a pack of wolves, it's, you know, chasing people aggressively and eating them. If there's a grizzly bear in a movie, okay, where's the blood? It's going to be soon. And it doesn't happen that way when you see them in the wild. And I had an experience the first spring when I survived that first winter. I went up the high hill, and I love the berries up there because, I mean, they just have blueberries, blackberries, salmon berries, you name it. But the trouble is I would never get any back to the cabin because they were so good, you know, with the dew on them in the morning and the sun warming them up, that I had this, you know, baseball hat that I was trying to fill up for a pot. And I put like 4 in the pot and about 400 in my belly. You know? So I'm up picking blackberries. There's a huge bush on the crest of the island. It's probably 25 yards across. It just was gigantic. And all of a sudden, I hear bushes rattling on the other side. And it was too big of a sound to be, you know, a squirrel or a bird flying or whatever. I stand up on my tiptoes, and a big, glossy, fat black bear stands up erect on his hind legs. We look at each other over the top of that blackberry bush. We both drop down in fear. And we pop our heads up again. And I know the number one thing, everybody goes, oh, you should run or just be faster than the person you're with, you know, that kind of joke.
Right, right.
But no, I mean, the bears, a grizzly bear that weighs 1,000 pounds can run 50 yards in 3 seconds. And there's not a human being on earth, not an Olympic sprinter that can run that fast.
Mm-hmm.
You should never run. That triggers a predator to attack.
Right.
So I go, okay, can't run. I don't have a gun. In fact, when I first went up there, I said, I want to be Clint Eastwood and have a 357 Magnum as my third leg. Like, I'm going to sleep with this gun. And all the old-timers, and we call them sourdoughs, if you live up there like 10 consecutive winters, and they'd listen to me, and they go, yeah, that's not a bad idea, kid. Not to shoot the bear, to shoot yourself.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's very few guns that are going to stop a grizzly bear.
Yes.
10 feet tall, 1,000 pounds. So no gun, no pepper spray, no defense. So what I did is I nervously kept eating the berries, and the bear shared his berry bush. But if I put my hand in my pocket,
uh-huh.
like I was concealing something, the bear came up again, clacked his jaws at me, and gave me like a warning shot.
That is awesome.
And I go, this is a Garden of Eden. I'm sharing this black bear's berry bush, and I'm probably just another bear to him. So my friends from distant cities, of course, watching these horrible Hollywood movies are going, Mike, why don't you shoot that bear?
He wasn't doing anything.
Why? If I shoot that bear, another one will swim, because all the animals up there swim island to island. They're so close together, they ride the tide. I'll get another bear on the island that might not be so good-natured.
Right.
You know, but magical
for
you to be up there with this fearsome creature, and we're slurping away, both of us, each on one side of a blackberry bush.
Okay. We got to take one more break, and we'll be back with you, and we'll find out what you're doing now and how people can contact you or Princess Cruises or whatever. But we'll be back.
Mikan's Auto Service is the only place to bring your vehicle when you need to get yourself and your pets where you're going safely. Professional, reputable, locally owned, and operated. Mikan's handles both your cars, trucks, and diesels. Located in the southeast corner of Austin Bluffs and Academy, they're centrally located and easy to get to. Ask about their veteran, student, and pet lover discounts by stopping by or calling them at 719-597-0501. They're also at Mikan's Academy Auto Service.com and on Facebook. Pet friendly and mother approved.
keeping them warm. Coats for Canines, a Southern Colorado charity, is helping pets of the homeless and less fortunate by providing cold weather gear for dogs that need a helping paw during our cold winter months. Dog coats, especially larger sizes, harnesses, collars, booties, and leashes are always welcome and needed to help those that rely on their pets for comfort to stay warm and be taken care of. Please visit their Facebook page or website for donation drop-off locations. Coats, the number 4, canines.org. Keeping them loved, keeping them warm, new or used, always needed.
Ready or not, winter is here, and you know what that means. It's time to visit Craig's Power Equipment to get the right equipment for snow and ice control. Craig's is now Colorado Springs' boss snowplow dealer for truck, ATV, and UTV vehicles, including V-plows and straight blades. Craig's has Snow-X salt and sand spreaders, the best on the market, single and two-stage Toro snowblowers, and in case the power goes out, portable generators. Craig's now has 24-hour emergency storm repair for plows and spreaders. Craig's Power Equipment at 301 South Wasatch or online at craigspower.com. It's no secret that guys love power tools. If you can plug it in or crank it up, Craig's Power Equipment has just what you need. From lawnmowers to chainsaws, hedge trimmers, blowers, compressors, generators, power washers, and more, Craig's Power Equipment is the leader in outdoor power equipment, now in their new expanded location at 301 South Wasatch at Wasatch and Bermejo near downtown. If it's broken or it won't start, Craig's can get it running again. Craig's is your authorized dealer for Echo, Husqvarna, Toro, Snapper, and more. For parts and info 24/7, go to Craig's Power.com.
News 5 decided to look into the state's child welfare system following a series of deaths in foster care.
The family and I have some very serious concerns about what happened.
We uncovered the state wasn't following its own policies, putting children's lives at risk. When you look at these children's faces, you really realize people's lives are at stake here, and our goal is to not only share their stories, but to set the foundation for positive changes. That's why we investigate.
Does he still have the stamina to score at 6,000 feet above sea level? He passes another defender. Give and go with Jamie McGinnis. Bricolone shoots low and goal! Switchbacks win!
We're making football history in Colorado Springs. The Switchbacks home opener is Saturday, April 4th at 1 p.m. Get your tickets now at SwitchbacksFC.com. That's SwitchbacksFC.com.
AM 1300, The Animal, on the air and on iHeartRadio.
KCSF AM HD1, Colorado Springs, a Cumulus station. Broadcasting from the old Chicago Pizza and Taproom Studios. This is AM 1300, The Animal.
Who let the dogs out?
It's time to get back into the house, the Animal House. It's the Animal House show on AM 1300, The Animal.
Hey, Michael. Thanks again for being on. Everybody, we have Michael Mojeleski on. He's just telling us some great stories, and I love this. So we want to tell everybody to buy your books. You have a lot of books out there, actually.
Yeah, and, you know, because Mojeleski is so hard to spell, if people would be interested, greatly appreciated, just Amazon.com. And if you enter the title of my latest book, it'll take you to my author page that shows everything listed. And,
right.
And the new book is called Wildlife, two separate words.
Yeah, and that's is that more like a biopic kind of thing, biography?
Yeah, well, it's kind of about Alaska and also this crazy thing that happened to me.
Yes.
After I left the island.
Yes,
so
what was that?
Just type in Wildlife, two separate words, by Michael Mojo, at least get those letters, you know, then it'll take people to my page.
I was going
to
say.
My website and all that.
Yeah, our producer here, Tyler, he was like, how do you spell his name? And he found you right away. It popped up. And by the way, you're his favorite guest ever so far.
Oh, thank you.
So, he's just enjoying. He's like he's getting lost in your story.
Vicky,
so.
You know what? If you want to talk about like the latest book, I'd be greatly appreciated. But
sure.
One other story about killer whales. We talk about how magical they are and smart.
Okay. We have a few minutes left before our next segment, and then we're finishing out the show. So. Which would you rather talk about?
Well, this is the most amazing experience I've ever had with animals, whether it's Alaska, Africa. I mean, it literally was mind-blowing. It literally makes you think, are we the most intelligent? when there's no moon in the sky in the Inside Passage of Alaska, when it's inky black,
yeah,
in the springtime in the ocean, there are single-celled organisms that the big whales eat that don't have teeth, and it's called plankton.
Right.
And the plankton at night, when there's no moonlight interference, they are bioluminescent.
Mm-hmm.
They glow. So if you're in one of those narrow fjords where it's only 50, 100 yards across from one rock wall mountain to the other, it gets, like, soupy thick in there, and it glows. So if you're kayaking, every time you stroke the ocean with your paddle, you leave a comet of light trailing behind you. When it rains, each raindrop that strikes the surface of the ocean kicks up sparks of light from the impact. If a wave sloshes up onto the granite cliffside, it just coruscates this water fire, this bioluminescent plankton everywhere. So, best seat in the house to watch this. I'm camped 800 feet up on this little grassy plateau on the side of the cliff. A pod of killer whales comes into this fjord right near the entrance where all that coruscating plankton is giving off all the light. One whale breaches full body length up into the air, 20 feet, crashes down onto the surface of the ocean on its back, lifts up a flipper before it sinks down like a paintbrush. It swirls the plankton and the light. All the other whales do a technique called spy hopping, where they lift their heads vertically above the surface, and they can see as well as a cat.
Yeah.
And they're taking a visual on this light painting. But it was a competition because the light only lasted maybe 20 seconds before it dimmed down. Then another whale, they did this consecutively, another whale breached and would swirl the water with a different pattern. I mean, I'm going, wait a minute. They're making these paintings. The pigment is the plankton. The canvas is the ocean. It literally was in the moment. You don't have to frame it on the wall. It's there for the creation, you know, for these whales.
Right.
But is that aesthetic appreciation? And if we're talking that, we better reexamine the way we look at animals as being lower life forms, subservient to man.
Oh, no.
If anything, we're the ones that need to catch up to them.
I've always said that. So I think there's a lot of people that just know that, you know, are intelligent or semi-intelligent. We know humans are not top.
You know,
bravo
for Ringling Brothers, the circus. They're
going to
stop using elephants. I mean, good. India just declared dolphins non-human persons.
Yeah.
So the world is changing thanks to people like Jane Goodall who have, you know, for decades said that the chimpanzees, to put a chimp in a cage is like taking us and throwing our killer whales in these marine worlds. It would be like you or I being in a bathtub.
It's so funny. Tyler and I were just talking about Jane Goodall during the break. But as we that, it's our next segment. We'll play the promo, and then maybe I'll ask you if you want to select our idiot of the week.
You are that idiot. You are that idiot. You are that idiot. You are that idiot. It's time for You Are That Idiot. Brought to you by House of Dog Training, the only doghouse you'll want to be in.
Okay, so I had an idiot, you know, selected for this week already, but do you have any in mind, just in general, Michael?
You mean an idiot?
The bad things for animals, yes.
Yeah, I would definitely say these marine worlds. It's time to, you know, let these killer whales go. It's horrible to take an animal that is at the top of the food chain in the ocean and put them in a bathtub their whole life. And I understand there is some education going on. But the killer whale that they're seeing is a trained clown compared to Tarzan, that when you see them in the wild. So, you know, it's profit. That's why they're doing it. The killer whale that has killed more than one person The latest was that trainer was a couple years ago.
Is that SeaWorld?
The reason why they don't do that whale a favor and euthanize it is because it's a stud, and every time it breeds, they can sell a baby within the marine world system. You're not allowed to take any more from the wild, but you can sell them within the ones already captured. $100,000, I believe, per calf.
Oh, geez.
So that poor whale, if they euthanize them, they would take him out of his misery, but they keep him alive because of dollars. And, I mean, karma's going to catch up. It's just in people's awareness because of Blackfish the movie and things like that. So that would be my idiot. I hate to call anybody an idiot, but if I could drive a truck up and take all of those whales out of there, I would risk going to prison, you know, the rest of my life.
Right. I'm that way with dogs. You know, I'll break a car window, get one out, or whatever I need to do. So great. Well, no, I think that's a perfect one for this week.
They wouldn't be your sponsor at all.
They definitely won't be now. So. Thanks.
Just going, oh my goodness, what did I say? But no,
I'm glad.
You know, your program is doing such good. You are really elevating people's minds. It's just wonderful to be a part of it.
Until we get to that You Are That Idiot segment, and then it sort of goes downhill for a second, and then but we are bringing, those that are doing poorly with the animals that we should be protecting, you know, to the forefront. So tell us about the book, the new book, a little bit about the book, or whatever you want to close out the show, and how people could find you, your website. I'll put that out there again, but whatever you want to talk about in the next couple minutes.
You know what? Rather than talk about the new book, is they can, you know, go on Amazon and learn about that. And
yeah.
It's a crazy thing. I left the island. I was Cosmopolitan Bachelor of the Month, Mr. November, 5,000 women from all over the world.
And
somebody warned me and said there's more wildlife in New York City than there is up here in Alaska. Be careful, too.
Yeah. What year was that? What year was that?
That was back in the 90s.
Okay.
And I dated for years and years through the mailbags, and that's eventually how I met my wife, so pot of gold. But I would, if we have time, if we mm-hmm. have a couple minutes, I'd like to tell an animal story.
Sure.
When I'm on the island, there was a fox. There's a red fox that are there, and she stayed back at first, very cautious, about 50 yards. And I would have my daily routine of planting the garden, chopping wood, you know, catching, filleting fish. So I'm outside the majority of the day. After about 6 months of seeing each other, the gap closes down to just 5 yards between us. And I named her Francine, kind of an old-fashioned feminine name. You know,
yeah.
She kind of had that regal bearing. And she'd sit on her hind legs and just be that close. And I never fed her because I wanted her to be there because she wanted to be.
Yeah.
You know, not because I was habituating her or giving her food.
Mm-hmm.
So one early winter, she has something in her mouth. And she comes trotting over to me, and it's her kits, her young ones.
Uh-oh.
And she drops them on my feet.
Okay, I'm getting goosebumps.
To babysit. And I'm going, I'm Mr. Fox. But, you know, animals can do that sonar thing. They can scan your soul. They can tell who we are, you know, our heart energy and all that. So I get sick. I'm in the cabin. Just a couple of weeks later, I got this weird flu, and I'm burning up with fever. I kick open the cabin door to let in some fresh air. I pass out on the daybed. I'm near comatose. My right arm is dangling over the side of the bed. And I wake up because something's nibbling. These needle teeth are chewing my fingertips. And I look down, and there's Francine, the wild fox, inside the cabin. And no wild animal will come into a house because you could slam the door and trap them.
Right.
And she had such a look of concern. Like,
oh,
what's
my
wrong?
God.
Where are you? How come you're not out here like you normally are? And, I mean, I fell in love.
Aww.
It was the most amazing experience. So long story short, I leave the island. I go to New York City. This is freaky. And I'm sitting next to this beautiful woman with red hair at a dinner party when my book was published, my first book with HarperCollins. And, you know, being outgoing, I stuck out my hand, and I said, hi, I'm Michael. And she looked at me, and she had these green eyes and this red
Francine.
Hair, and she said, hi, I'm Francine.
That's
Vicky,
awesome.
Vicky, 20 times a day, I blurt out something I want to catch in midair and stuff back into my mouth. I went, "You're a fox." And she said, "Why, thank you." And I had to explain to her the whole story.
That
I
is
kept
awesome.
Looking at her like, is this Francine, like, reincarnated? You know, it was very strange.
I totally believe in that. Okay, he's saying we got to go. I want to thank you for being on. You've been awesome. I mean, more than I could ever imagine. And I want you and your wife to discuss the adoption thing. Just
we will. And, no, you have to come to Alaska. I'm going to be on the Crown Princess this summer.
Okay.
If there's any way you can come up there. The cruises are very inexpensive in September, and that's my favorite time. We see the Northern Lights. It's unbelievable.
Okay, Crown Princess. I was just telling my brother I want to come up at Christmas. So, but terrific. Thank you so much for calling in and being on. I'm so glad to meet you.
I mean it. It's an absolute honor to be on a show of this level and depth. It's just wonderful what you're doing. Bravo.
Thank you so much, and I will talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks again.
Okay.
Have a great day.
You too.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of the Animal House Show. Vicki will be back with more great guests next Saturday, right here on AM 1300, The Animal.
Need a new roof? Call Peak View Roofing at 593-0580 today.
KTSF AM HD1 Colorado Springs, a Cumulus station, broadcasting from the old Chicago Pizza and Taproom Studios. This is AM 1300, The Animal.